First Samuel, the second chapter. We've been, as you know, we've been studying and talking about Hannah. It's kind of interesting about Hannah. Hannah is mentioned 13 times in the Bible, all of them in First Samuel, and all of them but two times in the first chapter. The other two are in the second chapter, verse 1 and I believe verse 21. And that's the last that she's mentioned. And yet in those verses of scripture, in that small amount of scripture, we're told so many things that I believe is such a help to us as God's people about this lady and about her relationship with the Lord and what a prayer warrior she really was. It's just a small, it's kind of funny. God does that in the scriptures. You know, she was never been mentioned again in the Bible anywhere else, except right there in those first two chapters. And but yet so much is told about her that it'll help us. And as I said, she was quite a prayer warrior. I think we mentioned the fact it's such an advantage for a young person, for a child, to have a mother who prays. That is an advantage. And I believe that Samuel had quite an advantage in his life because of his mother Hannah and how she prayed. Now what we're going to do is this. We talked about already in the first part about her prayer for a child. And of course God answered that prayer. Secondly, we see her praying one more time. See her two prayers in the book of 1 Samuel here in the first two chapters. And the second prayer is showed us, given us in the second chapter. And she then, not only does she pray, did she pray for a child, but she came back and prayed and gave thanksgiving to God for that child. And to me, again, that's a tremendous, tremendous principle that Hannah here has presented to us, because you know what it's saying? Okay, you pray for things, you ask God for things. Do we remember once we get them to go back and say thank you? And that's exactly what Hannah did. She went back and she thanked God for what he had done for her. What a blessing that was. And so we're going to look at her prayer. She certainly had received the mercy of God. She had received much from God. And she came back with thanksgiving in her heart because of what God had done for her and what God had given her in giving her Samuel. So we're going to look in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. And if you notice here, the one thing she does, and there's no doubt in my mind that this lady was so thankful for Samuel, that first child of hers. She had five more after that. You remember we talked about that. God gave her five more children. But God gave her that first boy, and that's what she'd asked for. She'd asked for a man-child, and God gave her that man-child, and she was truly, I'm sure, rejoicing over Samuel. There's no doubt in my mind she was rejoicing over Samuel. But if you notice in that verse of Scripture, she said she was rejoices in the Lord. Yes, thankful, I'm sure, for Samuel, the child, but her rejoicing was in the Lord. And what he had done for her, and what a wonderful thing it was that God had done. I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, there's so many things that we have to rejoice over. And we're living in a world that spends much of its time rejoicing, or maybe not, rejoicing may be a bad word, but being happy and all those things for sports and things like this. Somebody makes a couple of baskets and boy, they go nuts. Make a touchdown and boy, the whole stadium stands up and hollers and yells. Or at least the ones for that side. Amen. And what I'm saying, and I hope you understand this. I'm not trying to say that that's what we ought to do in church. I'm not trying to say we ought to jump up and down and holler and yell. But I think there needs to be some rejoicing about the things of God. I mean, we can get excited about so many other things. And rejoice over those things and be happy over those things. I think we need to get happy over what God has done for us. If you'll notice there, he says, rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemy because I rejoice in thy salvation. Well, I want to tell you something. If you don't have anything else you feel like to rejoice about, you ought to rejoice about salvation. I mean, that ought to do something for us. And she was certainly rejoicing for the salvation that she had. And certainly, I'm sure, for giving her all these other things that God had given her. But folks, boy, we need to be a rejoicing people. We need to keep that in our heart and realize we've got so much to be thankful for. You and I know I don't need to stress this, but folks, if you and I have salvation today, we've got it. I mean, we've got so much just in being saved. That's tremendous. And boy, we ought to rejoice over it. And Hannah, we find her certainly doing that. And in fact, back in Luke, the 10th chapter, I'll just read you a verse of scripture. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He said, don't rejoice. Don't spend your time rejoicing because the spirits are subject to you. You have the power to cast out demons and all that. That's not, he said, rejoice that your name is written down in heaven. Well, that ought to be something that we ought to be rejoicing about. Thank God we're saved. You know, if life ends right now, amen. It's okay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's okay. Why? Because we have salvation. Amen. So that's a wonderful thing to rejoice in. And then also, you notice she said in that verse, she said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. And she says, and my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. And if you notice here, she was talking about how God had strengthened her and helped her, because when he talks about the horn in the Bible, you know, the horns that was on the corner of the altar in the Old Testament, those horns spoke of power. And she was saying here, God had strengthened her and allowed her to win over her enemies. God had done that. And if you notice again, you see it's him that she's giving praise for, that he's the one that did all of those things. Not only that, in verse number 3, you notice it says, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. And once again, you notice here that she's talking about those that was proudful and Paniah, I feel like, is who she was probably talking about. It showed pride and was arrogant in her ways toward Hannah. And she was simply saying there, you know, boy, that pride will be silenced, you know. The pride is going to be taken care of. There's coming a day when all that's going to be put down, you see. And she was just thanking God for what he had done. And, you know, we're living in a day when there's so much bragging. If you want to listen to politicians, most of the times you hear politicians and they're bragging about what they've done here and what they've done there. Athletes, I can't even say enough about that. You get an athlete on a program or somewhere and interview him, and he'll just spend most of his time telling how good he is. Most of them do. I'm saying all of them do, but most of them do spend their time bragging on that. And can I say something to you? You know, there's even preachers getting on that. Get to bragging on themselves and all of these kind of things. Christians get in on it. Folks, ought not to be. We don't have nothing to brag about except the Lord and what he's done for us. That's what we've got to brag about, you see. And we've got to be very careful. Pride is a very serious thing, and we've got to be very careful about it. And also in verse 3, notice it says... Let me find out where it is. Oh, say down at the end it says, a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Now if you notice here, he talked about the actions are weighed, and I got to thinking, God weighs our actions. And I thought about that, and it kind of here's what I kind of thought of. Okay, if we was just 1/10 as interested in how God weighed our actions as we are on what we weigh, it would be some revival that we would have. What happens is, in all seriousness now, folks, billions of dollars is spent on weight programs and weight supplements. Billions is spent on it. Now you say, Brother Ross, does that have its place? Yes, I suppose it does, but it ought not have the place that it's having. What we ought to be more interested in is how much does God weigh us? How about our actions? If we would all get more interested, and I'm not okaying the fact that we might weigh too much. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, though, if we would be more interested and put our more interest in the fact of what God thinks about our actions, we'd have revival all over this nation. And be sure, that's what Hannah was telling us, God weighs our actions. The actions of men. Amen? So you know what? I think, you know, all of these other things may have their place in society, and we have to be careful, but I want to tell you what. Most people in America is being took. Can I tell you something? Can I tell you an honest secret? If I want to lose weight really bad enough, did you know all I have to do is cut back on eating? No, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm being honest. I do not need all the weight supplements and all of those other things. I mean, exercise is always good for you. Exercise is good. But you know what? What I need to do if I want to lose weight is just cut back on my eating. But you know what? We ought to be more interested in what God weighs our actions. What does God think about us? Our spiritual life. That ought to be of more interest than the other. Do you think? I believe Pastor Ross is right in that. You see, that ought to be what our real concern should be. What does God think about us? What does God think about our actions? You see, and Hannah said, he weighs them. You know, it kind of reminds me of the story back in Daniel, the fifth chapter of Daniel, when Belshazzar was having a wild party for government officials. And I got to be careful how I say this. I wanted to say God crashed the party, but I don't think that's a good way to put it. God come on the scene in the form of a hand writing on the palace wall. And there was a word that he wrote there, which is called tekel. Thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. They had to get Daniel in to interpret that. They couldn't read it. Got Daniel in there, and he told them what it meant. So I'm saying to you, you know, are we weighed in the balance? He told Belshazzar, he said, you're weighed in the balance and you're found wanting. You don't add up. Amen? So I think that ought to probably be more interesting and more concerned about that than the other, don't you? How we weigh out with God, I think, is much more important than the other, don't you? I believe it is. Then also we find that Hannah, of course, as we mentioned earlier in verse number 2, says there is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. And if you'll notice there, she had such a love and a thanksgiving and a praise for God Almighty. Now you read this very closely, very carefully. As you read her prayer, you'll find out what a love she had for her God. And she had a deep love. In fact, I'm going to give you some of the things that she spoke of and said about God that certainly I think that we ought to too. One of the main ones was in verse 2. She was concerned about the holiness of God. If you notice here, she said, and there is none holy as the Lord. It's one of the things, and I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced of it in my own life. I'm convinced of it in preaching. I think one of the great missing links in preaching across this country nowadays is the holiness of God. We've let God come down to being just God. But let me tell you something. He's not just God. He is a holy, holy, holy God. Amen? And you know, even there, in Isaiah's vision, it's what he what he saw was those who say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, holy, holy, holy." And you find that in Revelation 2, in the I think it's the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation. The Seraphims, the beast, they call them, and they're an angelic beast or being. And they was cried constantly, "Holy, holy, holy." I have a feeling we don't dwell enough on the great holiness of God and realize that when we're dealing with God, when we're talking to God, when whatever work we're doing for God, he's a holy God. Hannah realized that. And Hannah brought that out. "There is none holy as the Lord," she said. So she recognized the holiness of God. Not only that, you'll find that when she said in verse number three, she says, "Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." I think I want to go back up to verse 2. See, yeah, she said, "Neither is there any rock, for there is none beside thee." That's what I'm trying to get to, none beside thee. In other words, not only did she say he's a holy God, but she said there's none other God. There is absolutely no other God. He's it. And Hannah realized that. There is no other God. Everything else is pretenders, false. He is the true, the living, holy God. And Hannah again brought that out in her prayer. What a wonderful, wonderful thing it is. And then you notice also that Hannah saw how powerful God was. And if you'll notice, he said, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly, let not arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble are girded with strength." Once again, you see, he says, there's none going to stand up against God. No, the bows of the mighty men are broken. There's none can stand against our great God whatsoever. See, and she recognized the great power of God there. If you notice what he does, and boy, this is what I like. In verse number 4, she says, "And the bows of the mighty men are broken. They are stumbled, are girded with strength." So there's nobody can fight against my God. My God is too great. He's too powerful, you see. Not only that, he says also he takes care of the barrenness of ladies who can't have children. Anybody want to say amen? Verse number 5 says, "They that were full have hurried out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." I don't think he was given just the number, which it wouldn't add up to Hannah's amount, but the word 7 is a complete number. And he was using that, the word of God is using that word. She was saying his born completeness. He takes care of the barren, takes care of those, opens the womb of the barren and gives them children. You see, God can do that. He's all powerful. See, amen. And I always kind of like to look back on that. I like this process that God used. First of all, she'd give him the first one. And she did. And then he gave her 5 more. I just wonder if we'd be better off maybe if we just be sure we tell God, "We'll give the children to you for sure. They're yours." And then maybe God will step in and say, "Okay then." Amen? Sure. What a blessing it is, you see. And God done that, you see. God's the one that done that. Not only that, if you look at verse 6, he says, "The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up." Now again, I of course I like it all, but I like that too. He conquers death. No, folks, you know, one of us could, I don't think any of us would, but we could go out and kill somebody, but we couldn't raise them up again. But God can. God can. God can raise them up again. Isn't that wonderful? You see, he conquers death. That's how powerful God is, you see. And again, she was realizing this, understanding this, you see, and so she put those things in her prayer. Now in verse number 8, You'll notice it says, he rises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Notice the ending there. It says, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. In other words, he created it. God's all powerful, and he created the world. And set the pillars for the world and set the world on it, the Bible says. You see, God, in other words, he's saying, God created all of those things. He's a powerful God. How powerful he is. And again, Hannah recognizing that God was all powerful, you see. Not only that, God takes care of the adversaries. If you'll notice in verse number 10, it says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them, and the Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Once again, you notice here that Hannah had a great adversary. Peninnah was her name, and she was a great adversary. The Bible even tells us that to Hannah. And God come along and put the adversary in the right place. Put her where she ought to be. He said, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto the kings and exalt the horn of his anointed. You see, he did this. He took care of all the adversaries. Folks, you know, the Apostle Paul told us that a great effectual door was opened unto him. And he said this, and the adversaries are many. Let me just share something with you. There's just a statement I want to make. Every opportunity brings with it adversaries. Every opportunity brings with it adversaries. You see, we wonder sometimes why people are against us or even against the work of God. Against it. No matter what opportunity God has given you, there'll be adversaries that come along. Always true. So don't be thrown back by the adversaries. God can overtake the adversaries. He's all powerful. Amen. So Hannah recognized that. She looked and she said, yeah, you know, God took care of Peninnah. God took care of her. You know, she was the one giving me trouble. She was my adversary, but God took care of that. You see, and gave God certainly the glory for it. And then also, of course, you see in verse 3, we'll go back there. It says, at the end of it, it says, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. Once again, we see the all-knowing power of God. He's a God of knowledge. He knows everything. Nothing he doesn't know, you see. He's all powerful. Now, that's good, and I like that. But I want to tell you, if I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't want him knowing all about me and all that I've done. You see, but he does. God's all powerful. Amen. So let's just remember how, see, Hannah just looked at her God and thought about how wonderful he was. How great he was, you see, and powerful he was. So, in our prayers, I think, don't you think it would be good for us to include in our prayer the greatness of God, the goodness of God, the power of God, the all-knowing power of God, the ability for him to take care of our adversaries and all of these things. In other words, in whatever way, in whatever words you want to use, let him know that you know that he's all-powerful. And there's none like him. Amen. All right. And in fact, down in verse number 5, let me just go back and read it. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Did you notice there? She that hath many children are waxed feeble. I wonder if he was speaking of Peninnah. Peninnah had children. I don't know that that's true. So don't hold me to that. I'm just saying, was he saying this? Because she waxed feeble. We don't know what happened to Peninnah later. Did she wax feeble? I don't know. All I know is took care of the barrenness of Hannah and raised her up. But let me just say to you, God is a just God. And God will straighten all things out. Now he'll take care of it. He's a just God. Look at verse 7. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifted up. If you notice there, what he's simply saying, folks, look, you may be poor, you may be rich, but let it be known. God's the one who'll straighten everything out. Amen. It's all in his hands, you see. He's a just God. And in verse number 8, he says he raises up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory, for the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. You see how God says he raises up the poor out of the dust, lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, set them among princes. Is not God a just God? Straighten all things out. Take care of all these things, you see. That's the kind of God we serve. Then in verse number 9, you see the faithfulness. She looked at the faithfulness of God in verse number 9. It says, he will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. That first part is what I wanted to dwell on. He will keep the feet of his saints. Folks, he's a faithful God, and he will keep the feet of his saints. I don't know whether you ever feel this way or not. I don't know how you feel personally. But there is times in my life when I sometimes look at God and I say, I haven't the slightest idea why you love me. Now, I'm just honest. Now, I mean, I know what the Bible says. But I look at it and I say, God, I don't even know why you would fool around with me. And yet it always comes back to me that my God is faithful and he will never leave me nor forsake me. It's impossible for him to do so. No matter what happens, he loves this preacher. That's amazing. Folks, I want to tell you something. That's amazing. That's amazing grace. And he'll never turn his back on us. Never, ever, 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 ever. It's not due to the worthiness of us, but the worthiness of his son. And what he did for us. You see? Well, that to me, God is so faithful. Amen. Always faithful. Even when we're not, God is faithful. And then in verse number 10, you notice he says, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces, out of the heavens shall be thundered upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. You notice there it says he shall judge the ends of the earth. And you find Hannah even talking about judgment, that God is going to judge. Even in her prayer here, and most of it was a praise unto God, she was praising God for his judgment, that he is absolutely going to judge. And assure you, he will. And of course, that judgment's going to depend on what we've done with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you see. So we're grateful for that. All right, I think we have time. I want someone to turn over, and I'm going to have you read a few verses of Scripture. So someone would like to read Luke 1st chapter, 47. We'll start with verse 47. And then I'll ask you to read verses. Who would like to do that for me? Someone, please. Sister Terry, I think you had your hand up there first. All right. What I want to do is, now I want you to stay back here in Samuel and let her read in Luke, okay? We're going to let her read in Luke. You'll stay back here in Samuel. What I want to show you is, and a man by the name of John Butler, I got this from him, and I thought it was really interesting. And he had taken the two prayers of Mary and Hannah. And they are so similar that it's so interesting. And of course, Mary, of course, knew the Word of God. I don't know for sure that she fashioned her prayer. I know she fashioned it out of God leading her. I know that. But it may have been she also, God was able to lead her in this way because of her knowledge of the prayer of Hannah. But it is really interesting that it comes across, and there's such a, you know, same type of things that both of them ask. So I'm going to, and if you look in verse 1, chapter 2, it says, my heart rejoices in the Lord. Now that's what Hannah said. And if you'll read verse 47 of chapter 1. Did you notice that? They start off, both of them, rejoicing in God, rejoicing in the Lord. Also, in verse 2, let's see. She honored God and said, "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." You notice how she honored God with her words. And what do we find in verse 46?
"And Mary said, 'My soul doth magnify the Lord.'"
And that's good. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." And you see, Hannah had spent her prayer there magnifying God. Giving praise to Him. If you'll notice in the first verse of chapter 1, Hannah said, "Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." Now let's hear what Mary said in verse 48.
"For He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed."
You see, Hannah said, he had exalted her horn. And Mary comes along and says, look what he's done. He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid and said, "Behold, from hence all generations shall call me blessed." It's so similar. Look in verse 2. Look what Hannah said. She spoke about the holiness of God. Then we find in verse 51, Sister Terry.
"He hath showed strength. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts."
Amen. See, once again, you see how they're saying they're practically the same things. And then Hannah, of course, rebuked the proud in her prayer in verse number 3. "Talk no more exceedingly proudly," she said. And I think probably you're going to be reading the same thing there, but it says about the pride there. And it says he has scattered the proud. In verse 51, he scattered the proud. See, well, that's something, and I try to keep remembrance of this myself constantly. But folks, boy, you can't let pride come into your life. You do, and we're in trouble. God will scatter the proud. You do that, and God will scatter. And God stands against the proud. You know that. You know the Word of God. You don't want God standing against you. Boy, you got to let God break you. Let pride get out of your life. It isn't worth it. Amen. All right. And then, of course, we find, says Hannah spoke of the defeat of the mighty by God in verse number 4. "The bows of the mighty men are broken." And what does Mary say in verse 52?
"He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree."
Yeah. See, he put down the mighty. Hannah in verse number 8. Spoke about how God lifted up the lowly, and it says he raiseth up the poor out of the dust. He lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princesses. We talked about that. And then Mary said in Luke 1:52.
"He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree."
Exalted them of low degree. Hannah, in verse 5, she says he caused the hungry to cease hungering. What does Mary say in verse 53?
"He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away."
Yeah. And then in verse 7 here, Hannah spoke of God making the rich poor. And then what does Mary say in verse 53? I think you read it, but read it again there.
"He hath filled the hungry."
Amen. And then, lastly, there in verse number 9, he says, "He will keep the feet of his saints." We talked about that. He'll keep the feet of his saints. And then Mary said in verse 54,
"He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy."
Amen. Holpen there means helped his servant Israel. You see, and those prayers of Mary and Hannah, it's just so interesting, are just approximately about the same prayer. So I think maybe the Lord was telling us some things that maybe it'd be good for us to include some of those things in our prayer life, you suppose? All right, we'll pick up what we're going to do next week. No, we won't next week. We'll do it the week after next. What we're going to do the week after next is we're going to get in now to Samuel's life. We've covered Hannah's life. We're going to get into Samuel's life because at this point, Hannah drops off. We don't know much about her after that. But then we get to see the life of that child that she brought into this world.